I'm going to give you $300 a week.
Yes, indeed.
$300 a week, $1,200 a month. All right?
Great, I'll take it.
Yes, you will. And I will take $350 for taxes.
Whoa!
Yeah, now, because, see, the government comes for the regular people first. Now, how much does that leave you with?
$850.
All right. Now, you've got to have an apartment because you are not going to live here. So, an apartment in Manhattan will run you at least $400 a month.
I'll live in New Jersey.
All right. Live in New Jersey, you've got to have a car.
I ride a motorbike.
You need a helmet. Figure $100 a month for clothes and shoes.
Figure $200. I want to look good.
Okay, so what does that leave you with?
$200. So no problem.
There is a problem. You haven't eaten yet.
I can get by on bologna and cereal. So I got everything I need plus $200 left for the month.
You plan to have a girlfriend?
For sure.
And then he takes the rest of his money. So in this when I saw Malcolm Jamal Warner died, I thought of this scene.
Uh-huh.
I searched bologna and cereal and found it right away.
And it came right out.
From the Cosby Show. Yeah, he's got Monopoly money. Theo's talking about how he's gonna leave high school, be a regular person. And there's the speech about like Monopoly money back and forth. You're gonna have a girlfriend for sure. Mm-hmm. Takes the last $200 a month. Oh man, bologna and cereal.
It is so weird to listen to shows that have laugh tracks for me now.
Oh, that's a live studio audience.
Or live studio audience. I guess I can't even tell the difference.
Yeah, that might be right.
Like, what shows have a laugh track and what have a live studio audience? Or do they all have live studio audiences?
That's a great question. And
like,
again,
did Seinfeld have a live? That was live, right?
Yes, Seinfeld was live.
Was Friends live, or is that laugh track?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. They used to say
Friends was a little bit of both.
So and so was filmed before a live studio audience, and they would do it in the studio.
Hmm.
Yeah. That show. Thursday night every week for me, the mm-hmm. Cosby Show. Yep. Malcolm Jamal Warner. What else was I going to say about that? I don't remember.
Looking through his like IMDb, and I don't really know what I would know him for other than that. Malcolm in the Middle is the other thing for him, but I'm not... Oh, no, not Malcolm in the Middle. Malcolm and Eddie is another show that he did.
Okay.
A lot of. He was on Dexter for a little bit. I don't really remember that. You know what it is? A lot of network television lately. American Horror Story. Did you watch American Horror Story? He was in that.
I've seen two seasons of that.
Okay. He was in Suits, which is a show I feel like I see a lot of people watching now.
It's 9 a.m. We do not have a new Bills helmet yet.
No, we don't.
We're waiting. We thought maybe, you know.
It's going to be 10:02.
We are anticipating it will be at 10:00:01.
Do you think they're going to...
Maybe they wait till noon.
Will they unveil it by Josh Allen entering St. John Fisher dorm rooms wearing it? Like, they'll drop a little video of him walking
bad.
In wearing it?
The Bills have not confirmed it, right? The story came from Pete Guelli talking with Sal Mariana in Rochester.
Yeah.
That's... Okay, then that's pretty close to confirming.
Buffalo Rumblings also I saw had the date of today.
Yeah.
I think it was in there as well. So, right, more rumored than the Bills have dropped anything that said, hey, we're coming out with a helmet on this day. So.
Well, I expect it today.
I still think if it's a silver helmet or white and silver, white and cream, whatever it is, like wintery themed, that has to be the rivalry series.
Right. You would think.
Because they're going to drop something brand new that looks different, that isn't their normal color scheme, and then they're going to have another one of those that is the rivalry series,
yeah,
which is supposed to be brand new, not like your normal teen throwback or anything of the sort.
Oh, and can you pull up the Graphic God one, the Nickel City Silver, that somebody just made up a Bills uniform?
There's like, there's a uniform account called Graphic God on Twitter that I think that
and they made a mock-up with Keon Coleman, and it's a chrome helmet and kind of almost Zuba's numbers, but they're silver.
It's like the nickel color. It's silver.
Yeah. It looks like brushed silver. Nickel. And it says Nickel City on it under above the numbers and underneath.
Yeah.
And it's 100% just somebody made it up. And I think it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think it's the coolest thing the Bills could possibly do. It's the kind of thing that, I don't know, not to say we're not cool, a cool city would do that. Atlanta does that with ATL or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Warriors do that with their city uniforms that say Cleveland, the land, right?
Cleveland was the land. What was the Warriors? Did
the
have
Warriors
something.
Had
what was
something.
The Warriors? Oh, Bay Area,
it
was, right?
Might have been
oh,
something.
They've
like
had
that.
A couple,
but this one that this mock-up from the Graphic God with the silver chrome, the Bills helmet is all just totally chromed out, and it probably can't look that good. And I don't think it's ever possible to be real, but it is.
It looks awesome.
Awesome,
but that on top of another silvery or white and cream or whatever this other helmet is rumored to be, those two things together,
I know
that would be two alternate uniforms, unless again maybe this helmet will be half of a drop of what the rivalry series is. But I had always thought, you know, with all these rumors and whatever, that the helmet comes out today and I'm getting rivalry series later. And if this is just the rivalry series, then I'm not getting any throwback anything in the final year of the stadium. And that just still seems weird to me. They're not going to do a standing buffalo thing. They're not going to do a red helmet. They're not going to do anything like that. I don't need a permanent.
Yeah.
But like a one-off, one game.
Final year.
Just you would think that something like that would be on the horizon. I still kind of want to think that it will.
Let's get a call in here. Frank on a cell phone. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. Good.
Good. Yeah. You were talking about, you know, the appreciating long drives. Currently doing one myself, actually, driving back from Buffalo to Chicago.
Okay.
I do that trip every home game. We drive from Chicago to Buffalo and, you know, go and watch the boys. And, you know, from Chicago to Buffalo is about 8.5 hours, so plenty of time to kill. But, you know, it gives you time to chat with your, passengers or listen to you guys. You know, we tune in via the, Odyssey app and catch guys on 550. But we also think about, you know, what the future could be, you know, what the new Highmark is going to be. And you guys were just talking about the alternative jerseys. One thought that I had was, you know, if they brought back, red helmets or they did some sort of throwback, when Highmark eventually goes away and they move into the new stadium, they could pair those helmets or jerseys with, say, like a seat from the old stadium and then do a charity thing, right? Something to commemorate it. I don't know.
Right. No, thanks, Frank. I mean, that's one thing. NHL teams do this, right? They wear the St. Patrick's Day jersey for the warm-ups, and they take off those jerseys and they sell them.
Yep.
If the Bills had 53 Highmark commemorative helmets that were worn in a game for the final game or something like that, and then auction those off for charity, you know, like that.
Sure.
That's the kind of thing. Yeah, that might work.
I don't like the idea, though, of wearing a red helmet and then not changing the uniform. Red helmet with the current uniform?
I think it would look fine. It would look fine. A red helmet with the current uniform would look fine. The problem,
my brain won't allow it to work because I feel like you're wearing what they're wearing now is some form or is at least inspired by the OJ years, right? Like the 70s and then into the early 80s, I believe. And it would feel like to me like I'm playing Madden and I'm creating the uniforms and I'm sliding the toggle over to 90s helmet and then I'm going down to the uniform and I'm picking, you know, 80 uniform.
Right. The biggest problem, I don't have a huge problem. If they go the red helmets, right, like the 1987 Bills, how different are the 1987 Bills uniforms than
what they would be wearing with a red helmet in the current home uniform?
Yeah, and that would be fine. The biggest thing I have here is the red helmet. What do they sell? What?
Right.
You want to introduce something new, you want to sell it. What do you sell if you introduce the red helmet? Do you make money, or do you just like get good?
You'd sell. Well, you would do what you just said. Like, you would sell, even not just the ones that the players would wear. You would sell it. You would sell the helmet.
People would just buy the red helmet.
Although you can kind of do that already, can't you?
I just don't think a helmet is a very an item that moves quite a bit.
It's the jersey.
Yeah, and that's what the rivalry series will do. So maybe in that case, the Bills are thinking, well, we don't need to sell anything off this helmet. Let's go for the red helmet. I don't know. Speculating over a
right. Helmet. If your fans want it, and you know you're going to sell the helmet, but you know that the jersey, that I just think the jersey. Why wouldn't the jersey come with it? Why wouldn't? Because I'm looking at this 1987 jersey, and I'm saying that does look different than what the Bills are wearing right now. Personally,
it looks different. Like the Bruins change their jerseys every year. It's not that different.
I don't know. I've got different stripe combinations. I've got a different color of blue.
And that's Bruins.
I've got a different collar. I mean,
the blue is not that different.
The socks are definitely different, I think, than what they're wearing right now.
If you're changing your socks, I mean, check out this new setup. The socks are different. People don't buy socks. You can't come out with a uniform that's too close to the one that they currently have, because people won't buy it. I already spent $150 on this.
Are you saying that if someone bought customized a current Bills uniform right now and put Thomas 34 on the back, you wouldn't notice that and go, that Thurman never wore that?
No, I would notice that.
Because that, to me, is the equivalent of what you would be doing.
There's a difference. You're talking about back in time. If you came out with the 1987 Bills jersey and it's Josh Allen, it would not be different enough to sell.
Ooh, I don't know.
When the Sabres changed their jerseys and became the hottest selling jersey in the league, they did it multiple times, the Slug sold well. Why? It is a different jersey. And the Goatheads, different jersey.
But they're unique. Most teams don't have changes that drastic.
No, they do over time. And again, like the Steelers, you want to buy that Steelers throwback they just announced yesterday? Drastically different.
Right.
I just don't think you can sell something that's close. A slightly different shade of blue is like, congratulations. When the Sabres came with that 50th anniversary jersey that they couldn't keep on the shelves, what was it? A gold crest. Like actual gold. Not yellow gold, but like the gold. And they couldn't make enough of them, and they didn't, like, people wanted them more.
Like, I'm looking at, this is an 87, this is 1990, but I'm looking at the jersey Thurman wore in 1990, and like, you can buy that for however much, and it, like, if there's no 17 Josh Allen jersey with
no,
this.
No, but
with
all,
this.
But here's
like,
the thing.
I think it would sell a lot. Like, these other teams that are doing these modest changes, they are, I guarantee you, they're selling those jerseys.
Like, which teams?
In a big, like, the Bruins, for instance. The Bruins this year, they're going to have a different shade of yellow in the... They're doing yellow as the B instead of black as the B, which is what? The black has been the last 15, 20 years, and the yellow is before that. And I guarantee you, Bruins fans will buy the heck out of those.
Here's the other question I have about these 90s Bills jerseys. Are they making them with today's technology? Because when you see a 90s Bills jersey, how much of it is seeing that the material is very different? And the colors, it comes off in the dryer. You put that jersey in the dryer, the numbers come off. And that doesn't really happen anymore, right?
No.
So I hope, if it is just that they're going to wear some version of the 90s uniform for a throwback for the season, that's fine. This is why the rivalry series is so important, because it will actually be different and not just like, oh, the blue is two Pantone shifts down. I'm in the Home Depot paint section, and you've moved 4 inches to the right on the color of blue. Congratulations. That's not new to me. I need something new. They didn't just build a replica of Highmark Stadium across the street. It's going to be very different, and that is better because it's different. That's not a great comparison, but I made it anyway. I'm going with it. Frank on a cell. Hey, Frank.
Hello.
Hey, Frank.
Morning.
Hey, good morning. I had a thought.
Oh,
about
we already went to Frank. Sorry, we had two callers. Sorry, Frank.
I thought we had a different Frank.
I mean, You know what? You got more to say, Frank. What, any further thoughts? Go ahead. We got your back. Why not?
Yeah.
You got a long drive.
I was thinking, I'm still on the road. I thought that I had was, you know, Hendrickson making the 12-hour drive to Jacksonville. If he cuts that in half and goes Cincinnati to Buffalo, we can give him hospitality, show him what it's like up there, you know, make him think it's a nice place to stay.
Yeah.
Just, you know, last stop there.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. Thanks. Enjoy the drive. Hendrickson on his way to Florida. Is that's the equivalent of the enigmatic wide receiver tweet, a quote.
Yeah.
Is the defensive end calls Adam Schefter to tell him I'm driving.
On Good Morning Football, Manti Te'o, I guess, is on Good Morning Football right now, and he just said he spoke directly with Hendrickson, who said of the Bengals' offer and specifically the guarantees that Mike Brown talked about yesterday, quote, they are atrociously, atrociously low.
Not surprising, right?
So they do not sound close at all. And this is year two of him looking for a new contract. It's not like this just happened. I feel like he could really get traded. The Bengals, too, like, man, they took a victory lap for 3 days about, see, we pay people. Here's the Jamar Chase and T. Higgins contract. And, like, a month later, it's, oh, both your defensive ends aren't there because they're mad about their contracts. Did you see the owner talking about Stewart for that yesterday? Like, what the problem is there?
Shamar Stewart?
Yeah. Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, how many owners, by the way, do media? Like Jerry Jones does because he's the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And then you always see Mike Brown once a year, the Bengals owner, do it. And he...
What other owners do media?
Like consistently. Because I do... Yearly, I see Mike Brown
the
quotes.
Giants.
He always says something that's like...
Doesn't the Giants owner like to come on and complain about players celebrating at least once a year?
Oh, that guy.
Like that happens once a year.
The son of Wellington Mara. Brown said yesterday that the only holdup in the Stewart thing... is Stewart's camp wants the money to be guaranteed if he's in jail. And Brown says, I shouldn't have to pay you if you're in jail.
Well.
Like, that remote, specific, you know, hypothetical is what is currently keeping him off the field. Is if he gets arrested, what happens to the money?
The question I would have is, what's the standard for the league?
That's a good question.
Brown
said the standard for the league is, well, actually, he didn't really. He just said, I don't think I should have to pay you if you're
okay,
if
well,
you're sitting in jail.
What's the standard for the league? If all the other teams do it, then the Cincinnati Bengals should do it.
Uh-huh.
I would find it hard to believe Shamar Stewart is only the just, you know what? Just in case I go to jail. I don't know. You drafted him. Pay him.
Right. It would be hilarious. He's not going to do this if he sat out the year and then re-entered the draft. Which he can do. The Bengals just lost out on a first-round pick for nothing.
It would be good. 803-0550-1-888-550-2550.
Nobody likes these, by the way, these like 40s throwback Bills uniforms, I'm finding.
No? I like the one the 60s, the blue and the gold. But it's
the
not.
Blue and the silver?
Yeah, blue
yeah, the
silver,
one with the number on the helmet. 1960.
Yep.
You really want to honor a team that went 5-8-1?
What was the Steelers' record, the one they're honoring with the beige pants?
That's a good question.
No idea. It was two coaches ago. The Steelers had 1933 Steelers two coaches ago.
Right. You know, I'm looking in the 30s. It couldn't have been good. Here's the Steelers. Actually, the Steelers weren't even the Steelers in the 30s. They were the Pirates.
And they're wearing those uniforms.
And their records were 3-6-2, 2-10, 4-8, 6-6, 4-7, 2-9, 1-9-1. That's the Steelers in the
30s. Mike Tomlin had not gotten there yet. He would have had those teams.
This is why,
he would have had those teams over 500.
This is why they can't say no to a guy that goes 9-8 every year. Yeah, they have had three coaches since 68.
Who will have the first training camp touchdown at St. John Fisher? I can't wait to find out tomorrow. All right, 803-0550. I'm checking in on a source that might have something on the helmet here. Let me get to that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. I mean, I just
on like when it might be dropped.
Yeah. Like
or...
I can't. This is, we're getting at like super secret saber source stuff. It's like I'm not reporting this, but I'm just asking. I'm just asking people that I think might know.
Uh huh.
Like Game of Thrones, you know, Varys, the Master of Whispers?
Oh, yeah.
Master of Whispers?
The spider. Yeah, he's the Master of Whispers.
He's
little birds all over the world.
Anyway.
I need a good rewatch of that.
Thrones?
But that's like a winter rewatch. I'm not doing that now. Because it's so much time you'd be putting into it.
You're supposed to do it before winter.
Because of winter is coming.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's only in episode one.
It's coming the whole time.
Which, by the way, debuted the week of the last Sabre playoff game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe Game of Thrones, the first episode of Game of Thrones was the night before Game 7, Sabres Flyers.
Okay.
Sorry, it's July 22nd.
You've got that.
What did I really need to drop that bomb on?
You have that so locked and loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Someday you're going to go on Jeopardy, and the category is going to be the Sabres drought, and you're like, yeah, let's go. Ding, 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 ding.
Number one movie.
Right.
Failure to launch.
This song was tops on the Billboard on the day of the last Sabres playoff game.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know that one?
I think Dynamite by Tayo Cruz.
Get out of here. If that's right.
I think it might be.
If that's right.
What do you think I'm doing all these days on Locked On Sabres? I'm just doing droughtology.
Apparently. You're checking out Billboard Hot 100s. 8030550. Camp starts tomorrow. Excited. Yeah. All right. Greg, hang on. He's got a trade question. We'll get to it.
Well, if we get a player who gets involved in something like that or does something that is just unacceptable, I don't want to pay him. I really don't. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. And so we say that if he got involved in conduct detrimental, we'd have the right to terminate the guaranteed part for the back years. His agent says, oh no, you can terminate the guaranteed part only for the remaining part of the year in which the event occurs.
Bring on the touchdown throws against air over the labor disputes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't find what's normal in the league for that. It just seems like such a weird thing to get stuck on.
Yep. Here you go. Stewart is asking that his contract language mirror the team's last first-round picks. So, yes, the standard is
okay
to be where Stewart is.
Okay. Then that, to me, would be the Bengals, again, showing why they have the reputation that they have.
Bengals director of personnel Duke Tobin said he does not blame Stewart for his holdout, and he's listening to advice he's paying for. So it's a significant disagreement in contract language, centers around conduct detrimental to football that could negate guaranteed money. But the standard is for it to be the way that Stewart wants it.
Meanwhile, the owner said it's foolishness that he's holding out.
Right. Does the owner...
And said bad things about the agent or whatever, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is why a lot of owners don't talk.
8030550. We'll get a call in. Greg in Lockport. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning. As you're talking about potential holdouts and we all kind of get our hopes up, I'm just wondering you guys' opinion about, obviously, we could only have one of these two. And which would you prefer between Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin?
Ooh. If I could
just have one of them?
Yeah. You could just have one right now. Boy, this is going to put me to the test. It's really going to put me to the test, Greg.
I mean, one is
a top 10 player in the league, arguably. Hendrickson. Hendrickson is a better defensive end.
Then McLaurin is a
receiver.
McLaurin's a pretty darn good receiver.
He is a pretty darn good receiver.
Like second team all pro last year.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's debatable if Hendrickson is better. Hendrickson is great.
I would give Hendrickson.
Hendrickson led the league in sacks last year. Now he's on a...
Hendrickson was a first team all pro last year.
There you go. Boy, that's a fun one. Where are the Bills better, defensive end or receiver?
Um, they might, I might be willing to say receiver. That to me, I don't know. I would still pick the receiver because I would see the value of that position higher than I would for the defensive end position. Like if my secondary is going to hold together and I've got good players at that position, I would feel like I've got enough there. Let me go score the most points in the league this year. And my offense is perfect right now, sans one top end receiver. And you're giving me that guy? Okay, I've got everything now. There's nothing I don't have on offense. And that is always going to be more important to me.
Another way to ask this question and maybe kind of get it a little more reasonable. And Greg, thanks for the question. I'm really hard for me to turn down any sort of Terry McLaurin idea, but Hendrickson is great. But to make it, all right, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. Here's a version of it. Put a bet on the bet board for this, Joe. What position will they target at the deadline? First off, they're going to have to create some room. They need to make some cap moves to get under the cap and maybe try to create some room.
They might, unless they do something of significance, they might not have room to do something.
What if you
do an Amari Cooper-level trade even? Although, remember, what was the deal with Cooper? All his money was prorated or something, or
they paid
the bonus
nothing.
Was at the beginning of the year, so it cost them nothing.
Yeah.
So you could find that. Okay, so what position? It would be more likely to be just of those two or anything?
No, anywhere.
Anywhere?
I mean, injuries are injuries, so let's say they're healthy at the deadline. What position are they most likely to target at the trade deadline if you were to bet today? What's the favorite?
I was about to say safety, but I've got Sal's voice in my head saying that they like familiarity with safety, right? And are they going to want to plug a guy in midway through the year?
I think we can say, sure, they might like familiarity. They need, at that position, results. And last year, they did not get results at that position. And I just saw recently NFL rosters. Let me find it here for you. Jerry O sent me this link about the top 10 rosters and who's good and who's bad. ESPN ranked the Bills the fourth best roster. Their biggest weakness? Safety.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills grades, if you care about PFF, they grade terribly in coverage.
Yep.
And there are things that Taylor Rapp does well, but the PFF grades.
Tackling, I think, is like the one.
Tackling,
thing.
He's very
like
good.
He's like an elite tackler, but he can't cover.
And Hamlin, like, it
couldn't cover.
Bishop has to win that job so they can potentially be better at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, the safety position kind of never got off the ground. It was supposed to be Mike Edwards or Bishop, maybe could win the job, and Hamlin gets it.
They just have so many receivers that, but could someone come in over the top of them?
The answer to this could be
a yes. It would have to be a really good receiver. If it's a McLaurin-level receiver, that makes more sense to me than, hey, let's do Amari Cooper again.
Right.
Or let's bring in, you know, some other teams. Let's bring in Darius Slayton, like some level of receiver like that. Like that to me doesn't make sense.
Well, I guess you'd make it like this. To get back to Greg's question, if you could have McLaurin or Hendrickson, you have to take a guy off the team. So, okay, McLaurin in, and who's out?
Samuel.
Right, Curtis Samuel. That's a $9 million cap hit.
Yep.
Fine, okay. And if it's Hendrickson who's in, who's out?
Appanessa.
Or you would just...
I don't think that helped me get to my answer.
Well,
although, maybe, like... I like Samuel, the player, just can't stay healthy.
Well,
Epinesa, I just feel like it's just kind of there.
At the risk of sounding like it's totally revisionist, it's just, I like to make this point about paying the middle-tier guys versus saving up for the whales.
Right.
If you did not pay Curtis Samuel, and if you did not pay Joey Bosa, how much do you have in AAV? It's like $21 million to spend.
Yep,
on those two guys. So if instead of going for the middle guys and kind of bargain hunting in free agency, you spent more picks there and saved that money for a moment where, a guy with an $18 million cap hit just came available. Can I go get that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the scenario that you do. The Bills, again, like when we get down into these conversations, it ends up, you could call it nitpicking. You could call it a full deep audit. If there's something to say about their receivers, they don't feel they need a true number one. And I don't think that is wrong. But I like to point out a lot, but they're not an economical group of receivers. They are paying good money at the position. So one way to find $18 million is to stop giving out those contracts and really have it be about draft picks and really big guys and not kind of burning up money on, you know, the Chargers' third receiver, finger quotes, if you wanted to say something about Palmer. He could work out really well here. But $11 million for Josh Palmer on a three-year deal is like 11 per, 10 per. That's money that, you know, a draft pick would be a half of that salary on a four-year deal. So they're trying to fill a roster. I get it, though. Not every build is the same. And what's Bean trying to do? Plug holes and get this thing over the line. And he might have done it this year. We'll find out. We're a day away from camp.
I'm trying to imagine the scenario where we're at the deadline and we're like, they got to get a receiver. What does that look like? Because I probably need multiple pieces to fail to get to that place. Or maybe, what could it just be one if it's Coleman? If Coleman is not, it's not happening. Like, he's not getting open. He's being asked to do more of the dirty work because Mac Hollins is gone, and it's just, it's not there. Or maybe he's late to a meeting again, and there's some question about, you know, professionalism or maturity. Like, could I get there with him? Because that big-bodied ex-receiver, which most people aren't even sure he can do, that's his job, and who else can do it on the roster? Like, is Josh Palmer going to do it? Because he can a little, but that's not what anyone sees as his strong suit.
Did you hear Trapasso on Friday on Coleman?
No.
Like, he was not a big fan of the pick.
Yeah.
And I said, are you feeling better about him after seeing a year? And his answer was no.
Right.
Like, ex-receiver, it's just it's not ever going to really work the way that the Bills maybe want it to.
So what if we get to the deadline and it's becoming more and more clear, like, hey, like, this is all looking pretty good. They're still scoring points and Shakir's good and Palmer's getting open. Maybe it's the Z receiver, like the other one. But that on the line, that physical guy, you're out there and run plays blocking.
He's going to do that, but the question is,
but what if all that's not happening?
Right.
Because he's going to do more of that this year than he did last year. And what if in those other areas that would keep him on the field, not really happening, and he's not getting open? Because that's possible.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring him up and I single him out is, like, if Shakir, it's not going to happen, but Shakir regresses, or for some reason you don't feel comfortable putting him out in the slot, I got seven other guys I could put in the slot. I can put Kincaid in there. I could put Samuel in there. I could put Elijah Moore in there. I could put Palmer in there. If Coleman isn't doing it in that role, I don't see another player in their depth chart right now that really fits. And then I could get to, okay, who's available at the deadline? But that's the most I could do to get to a point where, without an injury, like, receiver is a real strong idea for them to acquire.
Pete Guelli has tweeted.
Okay.
Just moved
helmet?
All moved into my dorm room for Bills camp. Only the essentials. There is a red helmet in the picture.
Okay.
So now it's either going to be a troll setup or it's just the obvious answer that it's a red helmet.
That would be torturous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like there's no way that they're going to tease fans with red and not deliver on red. It makes the most sense to just have a one-off year with a red helmet at the stadium. Just go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep it around, you keep it around. And if you don't, you don't. So, all that
I cannot believe that's not on purpose, and we're about to have a red helmet.
Red helmet,
yeah.
Bills introduced a red helmet. It's gotta
that
be.
Makes that to me makes more sense lining up with the rumor yesterday about there being like a white silver helmet. That just sounds like the rivalry series, and this is where I would have thought they ended up, which is red helmet, and then you also have this other thing that we're gonna have. At some point in the
That's what excites me. This red helmet, fine. Everybody will be happy. That's good. Hit me that rivalry uniform as soon as possible. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We're going to break in Extendo Sports in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. Stay tuned.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Stat of the day for you on Extendo Sports. Doug Clawson of CBS Sports tweeting this one out. Micah Parsons in the news because Jerry Jones is, yeah, you know. Micah Parsons could go 268 straight pass rushes without a pressure and still lead the NFL in pressure rate since joining the NFL in 2021. It's 268 straight without a pressure. He's too smart to be in Dallas. Doesn't he,
yeah,
while wanting his guaranteed money and deserving it, doesn't he see, I can't be dealing with this guy, this Jerry Jones. Like, what is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Send me to a real team. Micah Parsons, super media savvy, podcast, tweets off. He's like, he's awesome. And I just think he's way too smart for Dallas. So,
just how much of that allure of like the Cowboys offsets all the way, like the ways that the team is actually run.
Yeah.
I think it probably does a lot.
Philip Rivers retired.
I saw that.
He also retired 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Did he retire 5 years ago, or did he just not play and everyone assumed he was retired?
He went back to the Chargers to say goodbye, so he kind of retires a Charger.
Okay.
And they had a cool thing where he's doing a video, and a couple of his old teammate offensive linemen came in, and Rivers, like Skinnerd playing Freebird,
yeah,
Rivers drops a dadgummit.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this, dadgummit. Because Rivers is a cartoon character with the way that
literally,
he talks. And
yeah,
he dropped it on, honest to goodness, dadgummit.
Do you remember the story about him and the 49ers?
Maybe.
So.
No.
Kyle Shanahan said, this is after the Niners lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship.
The one that Purdy got hurt in, or a more recent one?
No, the one that Purdy got hurt.
So they didn't even
Josh Johnson got hurt.
So they didn't have a quarterback.
They didn't have a quarterback. And Kyle Shanahan said that Philip Rivers was their contingency plan had they made it to the Super Bowl.
That would have been amazing.
He said he was prepared to. We had talked to him earlier in the season. That's stuff we had talked about throughout the whole year. And we would have had to have seen how that was for the Super Bowl.
How about that? The Niners are going to the Super Bowl. They don't have a quarterback.
And here comes Philip Rivers. Who, like, would be a Hall of Famer if he just had the Super Bowl. Here he is off the street or off his couch. Like, let me take a shot at it. That would have been really cool.
We're back tomorrow from St. John Fisher, possibly with a red helmet.
I feel like we're going to be. You don't torture the fans without it being the red helmet.
That's right. You don't do that. You don't mess around. So I think it's going to be a red helmet. And that the report of the non-red helmet is still probably correct. It's just the timeline is off because that's going to be part. That's what makes sense. That'll be part of the rivalry's uniform. That's always made the most sense.
Yeah,
definitely. This idea of a gray, chrome, matte, white helmet, whatever that is, that just wouldn't fit now. That's got to be the rivalry's uniform. And that excites me. All right. That's it for us. No, actually, we're hanging out for a few minutes because Sal had problems with his equipment. He's on his way in here. So I think we're coming back for a few minutes. And then Sal will jump in for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So talk to you in a minute.